Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 46. It's July 2nd, 2020. To many, learning in a classroom is like eating food from the frozen section of a supermarket. What initially appears to be sustaining, convenient, and diverse is really overprocessed, expensive, and homogeneous. It's not surprising why. Schools today are stuck in a rut. In many schools across the world, children en masse get dropped off in inner buildings where they become the recipient of linear teaching and tests. They go home, do homework, and start over again the next day, all for the goal of preparing them for the next level of school and meeting broad and dubiously constructed standards. The consequences of this single approach are huge. It is reasonable to assume that for 95% of all students, their experience in K-12 schools will not significantly change in the next 30 years. Few even question this pattern anymore. But the education landscape is nevertheless finally getting some diversity. Just as followers of Michael Pollan are no longer relying on the industrial food complex to provide them their sustenance, so too are a growing number of homeschoolers and unschoolers questioning the assumptions of today's industrial education system. These homeschoolers and unschoolers are families that have decided not to partake in today's K-12 school system because they, using a variety of calculations, believe the costs outweigh the benefits. They are striving to evolve new approaches, not from the once-removed vantage of politicians or board members or even smart individuals grinding through the Sisyphean task of trying to get a few policies changed, but by abandoning the model and starting over. Almost exclusively, they currently represent education's real research and development. Perhaps the hardest part of this revolution for parents to overcome, however, is realizing just how ingrained the traditional school habits of teaching children truly are. Homeschoolers and unschoolers have to adopt the genuine best practices of schools while leaving behind ineffective legacy processes and industrial conceits, in place of which they must fill in the gaps. This book, whose name is both an oxymoron and a double entendre, is the result of my research to identify and frame the guidelines that these home and unschoolers are uncovering in childhood education. To best present them, unschooling rules is organized according to what I call the 7 C's of education: curricula, the selection; content, the pieces; coaching, the adult; customization, the flexibility; community, the peers; credit, the documentation; care, the place. It is time to consider new approaches to education through a lens outside the ones of the education industrial complex. The landscape is finally changing, and not a moment too soon. Author's promise: this book does not contain slews of inspirational quotes about the importance of education and change, nor ones about the problems of the current system. If these types of quotes worked, A, schools would already have changed, and B, schools wouldn't have to change. Part 1, Curricula. Learn to be, learn to do, learn to know. There are 3 different types of learning: learning to be, learning to do, and learning to know. Learning to be focuses on helping someone understand who they are and who they want to be. This type of learning answers such questions as, what do I love doing? What is my dream? What gives me energy? What are my unique strengths? And even, what is my role in a group? Reflection is necessary. Online social networking, such as Facebook, has exploded in part because it partially meets this need. Learning to be is the most individualistic of the 3 types of learning. Learning to do, in contrast, focuses on developing skills that can be applied, such as in the productive world. Learning to do almost always involves significant practice. Learning to do Topics include such abstract skills as leadership, innovation, stewardship, and project management on one end, and more literal skills such as how to build, grow, use, or fix things on the other. Learning to Know focuses on knowledge that can be captured in books and lectures. This includes timelines and dates, definitions and facts. Google and Wikipedia are the ultimate Learning to Know tools. Most schools are very busy at developing this type of learning. Any curriculum that focuses solely on one of these types of learning is missing most of the opportunities for complete learning. Further, there is a logical order to presenting the three different types. Traditional schools, Forte, Learning to Know, can only come after Learning to Be and Learning to Do have successfully begun. It's the role of childhood to build these three types of learning into every individual. Society pays a steep price when people are not developed in all areas. But let's start somewhere comfortable. Focus on reading, writing, and arithmetic. Our grandparents got it right. The core curriculum for academic-style content is simply reading, writing, and arithmetic, which leads to the next rule. Learn something because you need it or because you love it. There are two reasons to learn something, either because you need it or because you love it. Nevertheless, needed content must be approached differently from loved content. The content one needs to know is fairly focused. From the traditional curricula, one needs to know reading, writing, and arithmetic. What one needs to know should also include areas such as stewardship, project management, innovation, and security. This content is relatively consistent across populations. And then there are those things one loves. Here, learning is automatic. What one loves is highly individualistic. For some, this may include music. For others, it may be truck engines, or clothes, or movies, or growing food, or advanced robotics, or classics of literature, or astronomy charts, or dinosaurs. In this age of the internet, the rigorous pursuit of our passions, sometimes lifelong, sometimes extinguished, even before the conclusion of the first YouTube videos we watch, is now infinitely possible. The bloating of most curricula comes from a simple flaw. Each generation believes that what they love, the next generation needs. Meanwhile, there still are 25 critical skills seldom taught, tested, or graded in high school. So many important learning to do skills simply fall through the cracks of traditional schools. Here are some skills, both simple and complex, that should be essential for any accredited high school curricula. Adapting, analyzing and managing risks, applying economic value and governing models, behaving ethically, being a leader, building and nurturing relationships, communicating, creating or process engineering new actions, processes, and tools, developing security, efficiently meeting complex needs, gathering evidence, identifying and using boards of mentors and advisors, maintaining and practicing stewardship of important systems and capabilities, making prudent decisions, managing conflict, managing projects, negotiating, planning long-term, prioritizing tasks and goals, probing, procurement, scheduling, solving problems innovatively, sourcing, buying, procuring goods and services, using containment strategies. These we should strive to teach our children and young adults. In contrast, don't worry about preparing students for jobs from an Agatha Christie novel. Schools seem disproportionately intent on enabling children to uncover their potential in professions that are staggeringly unlikely, low-paying, and about 100 years past their peak. For example, educators place great attention and ethical value on the jobs of the novelist. Thus, everyone studies techniques used to create great literature. The musicians, thus everyone is made to play an instrument. The professional mathematician, thus everyone is pushed into a calculus track, even if they never reach it. Of course, diverse exposure is part of a rich life. If children love any of these, let them embrace them. If a student loves and embraces playing an instrument, that is great during class time. But in terms of pushing archaic areas of study to prepare them for life as though they were in a Jane Austen or Agatha Christie novel, forget about it. And that is enough for today from Unschooling Rules by Clark Aldrich. I'd read previously the preface written by Jeff Sandifer, maybe in 42. I can't remember which of these prior dispatches included it's a cool little book. It's just very quick, bang bang, these short short little bits. That was, in fact, his personal introduction, the author, and then 5 of the 55 little chapters. Fun stuff. I'll obviously link to it in the show notes, which will be at regular.fm/46. And as always, I keep a refrain so far for sure is commentary about education reminds me of media. Commentary about media reminds me of education. I suppose it's all content moving from one mind to the next. So they are clearly related. And it's fascinating to see these older models slowly but surely be infused with newer models, newer ideas. In a sense, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that we're going through now has happened before. And yet, it is also fascinating to watch new technologies come along and the McLuhan idea that the first thing we do is grab content from the old medium and cram it into the new. And that clearly applies to what still is occurring with respect to both media and education. Hopefully there'll be a lot more experimentation and choice, but that's always good. We have things like cable monopolies and gigantic, you know, satellite companies, the sort of firmament of these, the quote, major media got built in a prior era. I'm not sure if we didn't already have the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, and Fox, that we would create them today. You never know. Maybe we would, but hopefully they would be a lot different from what they are now. Still, their web pages are just regurgitations of news segments and newspaper columns. Occasionally, there'll be some special feature or something that draws on information in a different way, utilizing the medium. But I think we're still a whole series of Orson Welles away from having artists and entrepreneurs show us the way through these new tools and really creating content that's indigenous to these mediums. We're still mostly just porting over old stuff. And obviously, per this author's point, the educational establishment being a government-run, state-driven, ever-centralizing a bureaucratic institution is even less likely to adapt and less likely to foster many, many different experiments and modes and models underneath it. That's bursting all over the place, largely in private schools, but that's only accessible to people that can do so. So here's hoping that that expands, and maybe this COVID and lockdowns and the virtualization of events and school and work from home and all of that may accelerate that for us. And that would be nice. Thanks, y'all.